All right, welcome to our intro to the Greek New Testament language, class number 5. And we just finished quiz number 4, and everybody's just so excited, and that's great. Well, I thought what we'd do tonight, we'd begin with just some reading of John chapter 1. And as you notice, some of the vocabulary that we're handing out, that is in John chapter 1. So before long, things are going to click here, and you're going to actually be able to do some translating of John 1. All right. Let's start with Deb in the front. And can you see the highlighted Greek? Is that big enough on that screen, everybody, or should I make it a little bigger? Good? All right. Would you go ahead and read for us, pronounce the highlighted area of John 1:1?
Ain arche, ain, well, no.
Okay.
That
very first one is a short E sound, yeah. So it would be N. Very
N-R-K.
Good. Okay. And notice that article there. That does that have a rough or a smooth breathing? Does the Omicron?
Oh, it's a ha.
Ha. Okay, rough breathing. Very good. So N R K Ain Ha Lagos. Very good. Very good. All right, moving back, let's go to Randy. Would you read the highlighted area, please?
Kai ha lagos tain pros.
Okay, very good. Is that a soft or a hard breathing over the ada in that word?
That's soft.
It's a soft. Okay, very good.
Kai
so
ha lagos tain
pros. Outstanding, very good. So, yep. Oh, I missed two words here for you, Randy. I'm sorry.
Theon.
That's very good. All
the
right.
Theon.
Theon. Theon. Yeah, it's kind of an S sound. Yeah. At some point here, you know, you say tomato, I say tomato. Yeah. Nicole, would you read this next highlighted portion? Right, that's an ada and a nu, so it would be, it's an a sound, ain.
Ain.
Ain. Yeah, and you know what, let's say theos instead of theos, because actually that might confuse us.
Say what?
Theos instead of theos, because that would be the ada sound. But you know, this... Yeah, this is, I mean, you guys are like, this is like the advanced beginning class. I've never taken anybody this far in the, you know, it's always been 6 weeks and you're out. So, this is great. You guys are getting a little extra here. All right, Josh, would you go ahead and read John chapter 1, verse 2? Okay, very good. A few adjustments. Notice the rough breathing in the beginning, houtos. And then the next one is that word, ain, and we're going to have that for vocabulary. And then notice it's n. So it's ain, n, rk, pros, ton. And then again, remember it's the theon. Instead of theon, it's technically theon. All right, very good. Okay, moving over to the back, Krissa. Would you say that high? Tell you what, let me make the letters a little bigger here. Everybody.
Those of us without glasses.
Hey, even
okay.
Those of us with glasses.
How about this?
100%.
John 1:3. Is that a little better?
Wow, nice.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. No, wait. John. All right, so now, Chris, if everybody who's back, if you would go ahead and read the highlighted area, please. Great. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. The accent is over the second syllable, so it would be agenita. So, but very, very good. Very, very good. All right, coming this way. All right, Matt. Would you go ahead?
Is it
okay? Well, there's only two new words if I just highlight that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Okay. Kai, Koris, Altu, Agenita, Ude, Hain, Ha, Giganin.
Okay, yes. And this over here in the word hen is a rough reading, but you probably can't pick that up. So this is hen. Okay.
Oh, I thought you said
that. I stand corrected. I stand corrected. You have people who are willing to defend you here. Very good. So, Kai, Koris, notice the omega, Koris, Altu, Agenita, Ude, very good, you did get that one, Hen, Ha, Geganin with the accent on the first syllable. Very good. All right, moving this way. All right, let's go with Daryl. Daryl, would you read this highlighted area here?
N, Altu, Diz A.
Okay, yeah, we've, Zoe.
Zoe. It's, you don't actually hear the Z. It's Zoe.
That's
Zoe.
Correct, okay. That's correct.
Ain, Kai, A. Doi, ain, tu, phos.
Phos.
Phos. Ton, anthropon.
Okay, those. Anthropone.
Anthropone.
Very good, Daryl. You went ahead and did the whole verse, yes. All right, so N, alto, zoe, ain, kai, hey, notice the rough breathing. Zoe, ain, ta, phos, tone, anthropone. Very good. All right, and Carol.
Okay.
Let's see.
Are you going with verse 5?
Verse 5, and I'll highlight that part there.
Ta, phos, and te. Scotia?
Okay, or Scotia?
Scotia. Oh,
I think
it was a long one. Scotia. Spain? Spain A?
Or Phi Nay? The alpha iota diphthong.
Okay.
Yeah, fine. Very good, very good. Kai, ta, phos, and te, scotia, and there's that iota with the alpha, and it seems to be the long E sound, and then fine A. Now, I'd like you to just notice something right here. There's a little mark down here under this eta. You all see that? That is actually an iota. Okay?
It's a little bitty
iota.
It's an
iota subscript.
What's he doing under
the ada? He's mad because it tried to ada. But anyway, that iota, it has nothing to do with the way that you pronounce it. So you can just really ignore it. What that is there's an iota in there that helps us understand the endings. Okay? So, since we're in this class, we're not dealing with the endings. You don't have to know it, but just in case you ever want to know what that is, that's an iota subscript. It's underneath the script. Okay, so it won't affect you at all in your pronunciation. I probably didn't even have to tell you, but at some point you're going to wonder what that is.
But now that you did, I'm wrecked.
Okay. So, yes.
Is that like a comma? Is it break in the sentence?
It's
Faina, is it? How do you pronounce that?
Fine.
Fine.
Yeah, the alpha iota is an I sound. The epsilon iota is an A sound.
Okay.
In
yeah,
the diphthongs.
Okay.
Well, very good. Everybody's doing very, very well. All right. Now let's go to the notes then, and I want to learn three more tenses this evening. We're going to learn the it's always helpful when I do pass the notes out. Okay. If you will take one and pass the rest. Okay, we'll just do that. Take one and pass the rest. We'll do it that way. Okay, as we said before, tenses are in the verbs, and the verb and the tenses are the genius of Greek. It's what is the detail. The main detail is in the kind of action. We'll take a look at some of these here, and I'm thinking of a few in my mind that we'll get to later, but that's what the real genius is of Greek. Again, these tenses focus more on action, the kind of action, than they do the time. And here's the German word called Actionsart, and it means kind of action. Okay? You might see that on a quiz in the near future. Actionsart, it means kind of action. That is the real emphasis of these Greek tenses. Now, this next one that we want to look at is called the imperfect tense. We've already looked at the perfect tense, and now let's look at the imperfect tense. Okay. We said the perfect tense was a video camera shooting now, so it has the continuous tense. The imperfect tense has the same continuous tense, but it's in the past. So imagine a video camera shooting film yesterday. But now it's not a Polaroid. You're not just taking a snapshot yesterday here and here. You were filming yesterday. It was continuous action. Okay? So that is the imperfect. So, A, it describes ongoing and continuous action in the past. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Mark 12, verse 41. Okay. All right, and in the English it says, and he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing, and that's the one word, how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums of money. Okay, so if the idea of observing is continuous action in the past, we're watching Jesus. And it wasn't like Jesus just went to the temple and he saw some people. We saw Jesus observing. He watched someone and he watched them what they put in the plate. He was observing them, and he is about to make some observations and do some teaching. But the Greek puts you right in there. So Jesus is observing. It's ongoing. Now it happened in the past, so it's part of a narrative. But it wasn't like he just went there and saw it. He was watching and observing. And then they were putting it in. They didn't just throw it in. they were putting it in, and he was watching what they put in. If you continue on, he's going to talk about the widow's mite. You know, when she just put in just a little, but she put in all that he had. So here's Jesus, and it's almost like if this Sunday I would just come down during the offering and I'd be watching what everybody was putting in. I mean, that's amazing. Jesus is so bold, you know, and then he's going to teach from it. So you know, imagine if I would say, well, look at this lady over. Oh, you people are all rich, and yeah, you put in a lot of money, but you have so much more. This lady here gave everything. I mean, just absolute vivid, and it's the Greek that takes us there. So, when you're looking at the imperfect, a lot of times it's what we see in the narrative. So when they're talking about the early church and they're telling you what the early church did, it's going to be a narrative, but it can tell you what they did continuously. Okay? Letter B, the time element is more prominent in the imperfect than the present. Okay, so remember how we said time wasn't the emphasis? It's still not the emphasis, but it's a little more prominent in the imperfect, because this is the stuff that narrative is made of. And like you go to the book of Acts, Acts is a historical book. It's a narrative book. You go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's a narrative. It's what they did, so it's in the past. But really, as we talked about John 1:1, this is where the real genius is. Remember we said N-R-K-A-N. Everybody was talking about ain tonight. It is such a famous word. It is a to-be verb, meaning is, in the imperfect. So it's was, okay? But it's not just was once. It's in the beginning, continually was the Word. And the Word was continually with God, and the Word was continually God. You see the emphasis? When John wrote it, he wanted to show the eternality of Jesus Christ. And he said Jesus Christ was in the beginning, and he continually existed in the past. He's talking about his eternality. And then he didn't just exist in the past, he was with God. There was a divine fellowship with God. And then he says, and he was God. Continually in the past, he was God. Well, if you're God continually in the past, that means you're going to be God continually in the future, because God always is. Okay?
So in that text, it is the imperfect tense?
That's the imperfect tense of the to-be verb. To-be verbs, you know, when we say to-be verbs, it really means the word is. But if it's in the past tense, it's was. Okay? Yeah. But with the imperfect, what we're looking at here in John 1:1 is this idea of continuous tense. It's ongoing. It's an incredible statement for Christ's eternality, which proves that he wasn't created. You know, many cults will say that Jesus Christ was the first created being. No, he wasn't. You're either the creator or you're part of the creation. Jesus is the creator. He always existed. Okay? So you either always existed or your existence began at some point. Jesus Christ always existed. That's all we know about God, is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. John 1:1, in the beginning. That's as far back as we went with God. In the beginning, Christ was eternally existing. And Christ was eternally existing with God. And Christ was eternally existing as God. Okay? So you see the importance of that. Another importance that I'd like to look at is bringing out this idea of the narrative in the past is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 47. And I just absolutely love this verse. Acts chapter 2,
oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Chapter 2 what?
Chapter 2, verses 42 through 47.
Acts 2:42, that's our theme.
Is it?
For Wednesday night.
That's a fantastic theme. I love that verse.
We do a Bible study on Wednesday nights.
Okay.
Club 2:42.
That's cool. That's cool. I've told my church that I've preached more on this passage than any other passage in the New Testament because it's so important. Because what was the early church like? Here it is. Now, in Acts 2, we're not going to see any imperfects, but you're going to get the sense of it. He is telling us what the early church was like. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. And I believe there's a reason why that comes first. And to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. But let's go back to this big word here. Okay? This is proskarteruntes. Proskarteruntes. Now, okay, forget the imperfect for the moment. This is a participle and it's in the present tense. But even if this word wasn't in the present tense, the word proskartareo means continually devoted. Now that I make it a present participle, it would literally be they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. And it's a word that has commitment in it. It's a word that means this is what they were devoted to. Here's what the early church was devoted to. They were devoted, I would say, first and foremost, to the apostles' teaching. That's why when I think of what should we do as a church, what should I do as a pastor, it's got to be the apostles' teaching. This is what the early church was about. And not only that, but fellowship, you can't forget that, the breaking of bread, prayer. And then here it says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Well, here's your imperfect. Everyone kept feeling. This was happening. We're talking about the early church. It's a narrative, and it's just what was ongoing. They were continually dedicated to the Word, and they were continually using their spiritual gifts. We move to verse 44, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And by the way, see the word common? That is our Greek word koina here, or koine Greek. It means common Greek. Where is it at?
The last 42.
Yeah, yeah. Capital E.
Okay, yes, that is a capital Ada. Yeah. It's a capital Ada. Hada. You Hada. I Hada the Ada. I Hada the Ada.
H-N, this is crazy.
I know.
Okay, notice here, they began selling. That's in the imperfect. This is what they were doing. So, it's not like you just saw an event in the early church. It's like, what were they like? Well, here we're watching them on a video. And this is what they were doing, and they were continually doing. They were selling their property and possessions. They were sharing. Here, another word in the imperfect. This is what they were doing, as anyone might have need. Verse 46, day by day, continuing. Gee, that's a surprise. Another present participle. This is what was ongoing. Taking their meals. Another imperfect. With gladness and sincerity of heart. And look at the result. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So this is full of imperatives. It's a narrative, but it's an ongoing, continuous action of what they were like and what they were doing. So that's the imperfect tense. All right, let's go to the aorist tense. And by the way, please know that this is still an introductory course. There are many more aspects, because probably what will happen at some point, you'll share with someone what you know about some of these tenses, and they'll go, oh, well, what about this? I mean, there's many, many nuances, but this is, you know, like the gist of it, the beginning of it, the center of it. Okay, the aorist tense is your Polaroid camera. It describes action simply as an event or a point in time, normally in the past. Again, yes, it does have a time sense, but we're more interested in the action sort, the kind of action. And again, it's a point in time. Now, look at letter B before we look at the scriptures. It can describe an event in its entirety. So I can go back and I can say, he dropped a coin in the plate. Point in time. That's when it happened. Didn't happen any other time. Dropped a coin in the plate. Or I can say, as I look back at the early church, they gave generously to the Lord. Okay, it's a point in time, but it happened over a long period of time. But it's still the aorist. But what we're trying to point out, or what the author's pointing out, is what kind of action. And so it might just be a simple comment that this is what they gave over a period of time. So it can be, it's a point in time, but that time can be a very small point, or it can be large. It's undefined, but your context defines it for you. Okay? Your context defines it for you. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, let's turn there. 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." That is an aorist tense, became poor. And here you can just see that it fits so well. You're thinking of Jesus Christ that we learned in John 1:1. He's eternal, he's God, he's rich because he's rich in majesty and glory. But he became, at a point in time, poor. He added on humanity to his deity. This is talking about when he came into the world so that he could die on the cross so that we could be rich. But do you see how the Greek is saying that, you know, he existed as God forever, but there was a point in time when he became a man? That's talking about the incarnation. He became poor for us. So that is what the aorist will do. Now, sometimes the aorist, you know, sometimes these tenses, there isn't any great theological depth to them. Sometimes it's just general talk. But, you know, what I love about the Greek is you're going to find a lot of theological emphasis in these tenses.
So going back to our film thing, your past imperfect tense as I was shooting, your present is I am shooting, your aorist tense or aorist tense was I did shoot.
Okay, the present would be I am shooting. The imperfect, I was shooting. Add the word was to give it that past tense color. And then aorist was I shot.
Okay.
I shot. And by the way, if you were taking the Greek class, this is how you would have to explain it. You would have to have an ing on the present. You'd have to have an ing on the imperfect, but you'd have to have a past tense. I was shooting, okay? And then you would have to usually add an ed to something. I looked. I shot, you know. But most of the time it would be an ed. It's a past tense. So that's kind of how we begin to translate. When it's an aorist, then I translate it as a past tense.
Could you do it, I did shoot?
Yes. Yes, you can. And there you kind of start. Now, there you start getting into the philosophy of English. As we're trying to English this Greek, sometimes you have to say those little funny extra words. But as sometimes I'll read it exactly as the Greek says it, And I'll say, that's very bad English, but it's very good Greek. Just so people can get the nuance of that verse.
So instead of saying, I was shooting at the imperfect, that's imperfect. I was shooting indicates that you shot more than one time.
That would be a very good observation. Yep, yep, that's exactly right.
So what you need to do is use the aorist tense in some way to indicate that you did that once.
Yes. Now, I suppose there's probably a nuance in there that I might have fired three shots, but I shot and missed. Yeah, I'm telling you an episode that happened rather than taking you in there with it.
Okay.
When I was shooting the band, my phone rang. That would be imperfect. I shot the band yesterday. Getting back to the camera and not hunting, Daryl.
Oh, okay.
From a photographer's point of view.
You're scaring me a little bit there. No, okay, you, yeah, I'll say that again. I was shooting the band yesterday.
When I was shooting the band yesterday, my phone rang. You would be using your imperfect tense.
My
yesterday, I shot the band.
Which yes.
It would just be, like, basically, your emphasis would be on, I don't know, I guess what was going on while you were doing it, or when you did a certain
thing. Yeah, yeah. And very good. And so at this point, we're all starting to look at different emphasis here. And at this point, then, you're going to also look at the context, because it could be, you didn't shoot the band yesterday. I shot the band yesterday. So there might be an emphasis on I. we...
Is this going to make your band nervous?
Very good. Now, I'm kind of going to jump ahead, but let's go to Ephesians 6:11, because I just love this.
Yeah, I need help with that one.
Okay. Now, all right, notice it says, put on the full armor of God, Ephesians 6:11, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, I just want to let you know that this is in the imperative mood, which means it's a command. But sometimes you'll hear a well-meaning minister, probably even myself at one point, saying, every day when you wake up, you put on the full armor of God, and you pray it on piece by piece. And I mean, and even if you did that, that wouldn't be wrong. But this is in the aorist. The idea is we're never out of the battle. So put it on and keep it on. The idea is put it on now. Put it on at a point in time. It's not like, well, keep putting it on. It's put it on. And all of a sudden, it gives you a real respect for the spiritual battle that we're in. Don't ever be caught without it.
So this is a command to do it once.
It is a command to do it. Yeah.
No other time element, like continually.
Right. Now practically, if at some point I don't think I have the armor on, well, then put it on now.
Right.
That's the kind of idea. But he is definitely not saying, keep on putting it on, wake up every morning, put it on. The thrust of it is, put it on and keep it on. Don't ever take it, don't ever leave home without it. Yeah. Exactly. Not in a future tense. Yeah, it's like put it on, and the mood of the imperative is you must do this. I love that in the Greek, because what you could say as a teacher here, and really it's the full emphasis, you must put on the full armor of God. Therefore, if you don't put on the full armor of God, you're sinning. It's a command. He's commanding you to put it on. You must put it on. So if I'm just kind of taking it easy as a Christian and I don't have on the armor of God, I am sinning. I am going against what Scripture says. Now, we all do that and we all sin. But do you see the thrust and the authority of the Word? So, and then one other. in John 2:20, just to give you this, help explain this time element a little bit, in the aorist.
Now, you said that Ephesians 6:11 is errorist, but it's an imperative errorist?
Oh, yes, it's a mood. So there's a tense, shows the action, and then a mood, which shows you how certain it is. We'll be getting into those. And what's that? You'll be getting, yeah, I'm pretty moody. Okay, now, at the end of this class, we're going to, not today, yeah, I need to use my Greek correctly. What tense would I use? Yes. At the end of this course, thank you, you will have learned all of these tenses and all of these moods. And I'm going to give you a cheat sheet so that you don't, you know, you can keep it right there in front of you. You're going to learn how to use a tool. So you'll go to the Greek New Testament and you'll see all these Greek letters. You'll be able to look those Greek letters up, that Greek word up, and it'll tell you this is a present tense. This is an aorist tense. And you go, I know what that means. Right here on my cheat sheet, it tells me that an aorist tense, point in time. It'll tell you what mood it's in. And you'll say, ah, this is an imperative. It's a command. I must do this. So you see, you'll be able to start seeing these things even though you're not going through the laborious task of memorizing all the endings. Although, having said that, I mean, it's just tremendous when you do learn the endings and you can begin to translate and you don't have to refer to these tools. Okay. Notice here, he says, the Jews then said, it took 40 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? Remember when Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up? Well, here the word build is in an aorist tense. He just told you it took 46 years to build it. But he's looking at it in a point in time. Yeah, yeah. Here it is. We're done. Bam. It took. You know. So you see that an aorist can mean a very small millisecond, or it can mean a long time period. It can even mean an age. You know, a dispensation. I'm thinking back. You know, something that happened when Adam and Eve, in the time of Adam and Eve, or in the days of Noah, in that time, that dispensation. So. But it's an aorist, and if you just kind of keep in mind that it's simply an event or a point in time, normally in the past, there are a few exceptions, that's the idea that you're taking a snapshot. Okay, now this next one, we don't really need, you know, you don't need to be a brain surgeon. It's the future tense. Okay? We have the future tense in English, and it's very similar to the future tense in English. So imagine a camera that will take a snapshot, the key word is will take a snapshot in the future. So I've got my Polaroid by my bed. As soon as the alarm gets off tomorrow, I will go out and take a picture of the sunrise. Okay. Now, let's see. Let me try to think how I want to say this. Okay, some time ago, as I was looking at the future tense in the scripture, it dawned on me, you know what's so important about the future tense? You know what's so cool about the future tense? This is the stuff that promises are made of. This is the stuff that God says, I will do this. And then you begin to think, okay, let's go through that. God said, I will do this. Well, God's a faithful God. He cannot lie. It means it's going to be accomplished. It's going to happen in the future. So I'm getting excited now of the things that I know will absolutely happen because God faithfully will bring it to pass in the future. It's a promise from God Himself. So that is, you know, really the wonderful aspect of the future tense. Now, not everything is a promise from God in the scriptures, but that this is the stuff that promises and decrees are made of. All right, having said that, let's just look at it a little bit. It describes more of an event than of a continuous action. Now, it can mean both. Okay? But we're not so concerned about the kind of action as we are of the event. In other words, when Jesus said, I will build my church, that building process is going to take this entire time till he comes back. So there you would see it on a kind of a continuous thing. He could say that, whosoever will call upon me will be saved. The moment you call upon Christ, you're saved. So there it's an event, a point in time. So it's more looking at the time element. I would say that the future tense has more of a time element in it than the action. And I'm not going to ask you that on the quiz. That's just too much to... And it's nothing to really get upset about, because when you see it in the context, it all comes clear. It all comes clear. You know exactly what he's talking about. Letter B, the element of time is very pronounced. There you go. What a wonderful way to articulate that. Okay, but let's look at a couple of examples. Luke 1:13. It says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. So it's just kind of a future event that's going to happen. Now, it's big. It's big because it's, because of the context here, but... I mean, it's just kind of like a common, okay, this is what's going to happen in the future. You will do this. If we go to Matthew 16:18, that's that one that I talked about, Christ. And this is just a tremendous, tremendous scripture. He said to Peter, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I can't tell you how many times this has encouraged me and how many times I have encouraged churches, especially when they lose a pastor and they're going through the candidating process. It's very, very difficult. I encourage them, says that, look, Jesus said he will build his church. So have peace. Interesting here. Look at this. It says, I say to you that you are Peter, that is Petros. It's a nominative, and he says, but upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. So I think he's indicating there that he's not talking about Peter. And there is a difference between Petros and Petra. Petros is a huge rock. Petra is the cliff from which it fell. Now you go to Devil's Tower. Devil's Tower is the Petra. And you see those columns that fall off, and they're huge. That's the Petros. So I believe in this passage, without getting into interpretation, I believe in this passage it was the statement Peter said. When he said, who do men say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I will build my church. The Gospel of John concludes with John saying, these things I have written to you that you might believe, two things, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So the fact that he's the Christ means that he's Savior and came and died for our sins. The Son of God means that he is God the Son. It's a divine title. Okay, so it just builds and builds and builds here. The more, you just have all of these wonderful, wonderful things in the Greek. It just keeps you in it. John 14:26. And let's see, what was the point? Element of time is... Okay. This, like I said, the element of time is very pronounced because this is the stuff that promises are made of. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, here's one, will send. He will send. It's going to happen in the future. And in the fact that it's the Father doing it, you can count on it, will send in my name. And He, that would be a reference to the Holy Spirit, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So again, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit teaching us. And at that time, Jesus said it was in the future. Now the Holy Spirit has come. So now it is an ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so those are three tenses. The future, aorist, and the imperfect. And you probably will see something about them on the quiz next week. So kind of read over this here. You will probably see the word action start. Means kind of action. Everybody write that down. You can even write, this will be on the quiz next week.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
Is it all one word?
Yes, it is. I think so. How's that for dogmatic? I absolutely am certain that it might be that way. All right. Okay, just winding down. I have this on the website. You have this on your paper. Here's just if we were to look at it with a diagram. Notice the imperfect tense. Oh, let's start with the middle, the present. Present tense, it has that ongoing arrow, okay? But it's ongoing in the present. Then the imperfect tense is ongoing in the past. Then the future can be both ongoing in the future or a point in time in the future, okay? You know, whatever the context is. But the aorist, ooh, I goofed up, didn't I? What's wrong with that diagram? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, very good. So, I messed that up. Next week, I'll have that corrected. That'll be in the past. All right. We got some vocabulary, but this is vocabulary that I think we've just about already talked about. We have ain, you know, there. I hate of the Ada. I hate of the Ada. And there it is. It's an imperfect tense to be, is, or it's now was. Okay, it means continuous in the past. Then we have ha. It means the. It's an article. Okay. All right. Then we have the preposition en, soft breathing. It means in. These are from John 1, so as you learn your vocabulary and you learn some of these tenses, you're going to be able to start figuring out John 1:1 if you haven't been able to do so already. Chi, it means and that's a conjunction. Conjunction brings two phrases or sentences together. It can also be but. Sometimes chi is but. How do you know? Well, you look at the context. And then we've already looked at the word logos. We already know that that was the word from John 1:1. Now, I just want to do this because I think this is really neat. What's that? Yeah, this is our application for tonight. As we learn in John 1:1, in the beginning was the logos word, and the logos word was with God, and the logos word was God. So the logos can mean the living word. It can mean Jesus Christ. If you look at your notes, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, it says preach the word. Keruxon ton legon. Okay, there it's talking about the written word, the compilation of the word of God. So we're told to preach the word of God. By the way, keruxon is an aorist imperative. And it
could be on a test?
No. It literally means you must preach the word. And it's not in the continuous tense, it's in point in time. So you say, well, what is, I mean, wouldn't you do it continually? Yes. But what this is when you, this is what you do. You preach the word. This is what you must do. You preach the word. And at the end of your life, when someone describes you what you did, they say, he preached the word. You see how it kind of indefinite? So we have both the living word and the written word. And I just have to show you this because I just think this is so cool. You know, here's our Grace Bible Church. Here's our Grace Bible Church logo. And notice our theme, preaching the living word through the written word, 2 Timothy 4:2. And we almost changed our name to Logos Bible Church. And this is why. Because of the Word of God, and because Christ is the living Word. So
that, everybody would have had to have this flag. This flag.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody they used to
speak Greek. Well, what's so cool about this is many people will just see that on our sign and think, oh, that's just a cliche, but you all know what that means now. So I'm just so thrilled with that.
Let everybody else in on the secret?
No. Only the elite. So preaching the living word through the written word. And then 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. In fact, if you could say these three words in 2 Timothy 4:2, Keruxon, Ton, Lagan, you automatically pass this class. Keruxon, Ton. I had a guy...
That's a tie.
What?
That's a tie.
Right. And you can just kind of just say it like an X. Keruxon. And the Zeta, you can just say like a Z. I had a guy that his wife was taking my Greek class, but he wasn't. But he knew how to say this. And he'd say it in front of his wife, and I'd say, there's no need for you to take my class. Because I just love this. So anyway, so our homework would be maybe a couple of these vocabulary words, which we really know already. And then just a couple of questions, you know, probably from these notes of the tenses, and there'll be a bonus question of action sart.
We had no doubt about that.
Yeah.